I want to get you guys out of here on time. But we're going to be kind of picking up from last week, piggybacking off of this morning's sermon. It's called Beyond All. Last week was Above All. This week was Above All. This morning is Beyond All. And we're going to just probably will not get all the way where we really want to go after it. But there's some really good stuff we got to lay some groundwork on before we get there. So turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. And Father, we just ask that these next few moments here, half an hour, 40 minutes, whatever it is, Father, we ask that you just open our hearts. Let us receive the truth of your word and let it change us as only your word and your spirit can. In Jesus' mighty name. So guys, little disclaimer here. I've been grinding on this. This message, this theme has been grinding on me for like 2 months, 3 months solid. And quite honestly, I thought about, like, with all the goings on right now, the racial tension and everything else, I really was like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't. There's nothing like racially targeted in here, but it could easily be twisted like that, if you know what I'm saying. And I just felt so strong this week. The Holy Spirit's like, you preach what I told you to preach. And we need to hear the truth of the kingdom. Amen. One of the reasons that we're such a mess in the church today is because there's not enough kingdom-minded people. Well, we're kingdom-minded, just the wrong kingdom. Amen. So Colossians, we're going to start with what we're going to get to. We'll probably have to get there next Sunday, but Colossians 3, 12 through 14 reads like this. So, as those who have been chosen of God, past tense, right? Have been chosen, right? Holy and beloved. Here's what Paul's calling us. Holy, right? Set apart and loved by God. So you're already called that, right? Can I get amen? Put on, now he's talking to us, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, look at what he says. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, agape, which is the perfect bond of unity. Right? So, we're going to back up to chapter 3, verse 1. However, I saw something this morning. Chapter 3, verse 1 starts with the word therefore, and if you guys have all been around me long enough, you know that I can't stand starting a sermon with therefore. Right? Because therefore means that we got to back up to whatever he just said. Right? So we got to back up to chapter 2 a little bit. Here's chapter 2, verse 20. If you have died, listen, guys, I could preach all morning just right here. This is so good. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, which kingdom? He's talking about kingdoms, right? If you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, and do not touch? See what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, if you have died to Christ, to the world, why are you listening to preachers preaching stuff that says don't touch, don't taste, don't handle? Paul's saying this. Now, that sounds pretty good from church, right? I mean, that's what we hear in church, right? Hey, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this. Don't touch this. Don't drink this. Don't watch this. Don't do that. But look what Paul says. Why are you submitting yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have to be sure the appearance of wisdom. Everybody say the appearance. The appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. Now, we can't just leave that alone, because this, if we just don't keep reading, right, we're going to say, well, Jesus, Paul pretty much says, sounds like Paul says we can do whatever we want. He ain't saying that, though. What he's saying to us, right, guys, I'm guilty of this, so I'm not mad at nobody this morning, right, but how many times have we said, oh, I'm just wrestling with this. Just once I said that, one time, today. You know what the problem is? Paul says the reason you're wrestling with it is because you haven't died. If you have died with Christ, see the if you're still alive outside of Christ, then you need to listen to stuff that says don't touch, don't taste, don't handle, because you want to do all that stuff. But if you've died with Christ, you don't want to do that stuff anymore. Right? Paul says in Romans 7, dead men don't sin. Dead men don't sin, right? So here's chapter 3, verse 1, right? Chapter 2, 23, guys, you got to see what he's saying there. These are matters which have to be sure, the appearance of wisdom. Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. In self-made religion and self-abasement, that means self-abuse. That's the Greek word. I'm going to abuse myself, right? Oh, gosh, I sinned again. Whoopsh, whoopsh, I'm going to whip myself. I'm going to say 12 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers or whatever, right? It's this penance issue, right? I've sinned. I'm going to pay God back. You can't do it. Guys, I want to do it. When I do something dumb, I'm like, oh, I'm going to make it up. I promise. He's like, how about you just get on your face? That'll make it up. Chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, now see, chapter 2, verse 20 is if you have died with Christ, now we have chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Why, church? Because the devil is going to try to get you to stop looking at the things of heaven. He's going to try to distract you with all kinds of stuff, and not just bad stuff. He's going to distract you with good stuff. He's going to distract you with success. He's going to distract you with relationships. He's going to distract you with pleasure. All those things are fine, everybody. Look, I like having fun, man. It hits 70 degrees. I'm in fun mode, bro, all right? I'm in fun mode from until it stops being 70 degrees every day, right? That is my season to go have fun. I want to just get out there and enjoy the weather. Can I get amen from anybody that doesn't like living in New England? Right? 70? Yes! Man, I want to be a teacher. Can I just take the summer off like a regular teacher? You know what I mean? Like, that'd be like, if I could do it again, I think I'd do that. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, can I get amen? But I don't get summers off, though. That's what I'm saying. I need that kind of a gig. You know, set your mind. Everybody say, set your mind. Where's your mind? It's part of your soul, right? It's not your brain. It's your mind, what you think about. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Now, again, you see why I was going to like, yikes, should I preach this with what's going on in the culture right now? Because we could easily go there, right? But this Paul's making a very blanket statement, right? If something's of the earth, he doesn't say you can't touch it, right? That's what he says. People say, don't touch that. The Bible doesn't say I can't touch it. It just says don't set my mind on it. I can use the stuff that's around me. Paul says, I've given you all things for your enjoyment. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18. God has given us all things for our enjoyment, right? He says, live life, enjoy it, praise God. But don't get your heart set on it, right? Verse 3, for you have died. Doesn't that feel good this morning on Father's Day? All you dads are like, yes, praise God. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So, just going to teach a little bit this morning. What I'm really concerned about as I'm watching what's going on in our culture right now, and I'm not talking about the George Floyd thing, but I'm talking, you look at the political climate in our country right now, it is off the rails. I mean, my wife and I are talking, every day we see something come through on our news feed, it's like our country is losing its mind. Like, I mean, we're not sliding on the hill. The country's like jumped off a cliff right now. You know, we're like free falling, man. The next 5 months, we got 5 months of this election. Guys, please just hear me, all right? Be prepared. Be prepared. Because you want to see some fear. You want to see the media trying to put some fear on us. You watch what happens in the next 5 months. Confusion, fear, panic, chaos, lies. My goodness. Come on, church. And you know what, Jesus, I just stumbled across the scripture the other day. Jesus says he's warning his disciples about end time stuff. You know what he says? When you see all these things happen, do not let your heart be troubled, because it has to happen. Like, this is part of the story, man. We just happen to be in it. Right? He says it's going to happen. You just keep your heart straight, right? Keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. So concerned about the body of Christ. And again, we've heard so many prophetic words about the churches being shaken right now, right? And a lot of churches are not going to make it. That's just the truth. It breaks my heart to say that. But a lot of churches aren't going to make it because they've been built on the world. They've been built on programs and not on the kingdom of God. Can I get amen? Right? So think about this, guys. Paul is saying to us, chapter 2, verse 20, you've died with Christ. Chapter 3, verse 3, you've died with Christ, right? So think about this. Like, I have died. Right, I was talking to a new friend of mine about being baptized, water baptized. That's the whole picture of water baptism, right? I have, if you've been buried in the likeness of his death, you also come back in the likeness of his resurrection, right? You can't resurrect something that's still breathing. Lord, give me resurrection power. He's like, die. Can't bring something back to life. You don't stick pads on somebody that's still got a heartbeat, because it'll kill them. Pads only bring them back if they're dead. Right? Can I get amen? We know that medically, and it's like the Holy Spirit saying the same thing. I'm not going to bring you back. Just think about this. Why does God kick Adam and Eve out of the garden? Well, because they ate the wrong tree. Yes, but think what he says. They ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the God says, but now if you eat of the tree of life, you're going to live forever in this state. The wrong tree, they agreed with the devil, took on the devil's nature. Now God says, he says, the reason I kicked you out of the garden is not because you can't be in the garden. It's so you don't eat from the tree of life in that state. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of life. And he says, I'm not going to come in and resurrect something that's tainted and dirty. I'll resurrect something that's dead. Died to that thing, and now I'm going to bring you back in life. Right? Guys, it hurts. My goodness. I don't like dying. But like I said last Sunday, I've learned over the years, I've slowly learned to die a little bit. And man, the stuff that I've died to, it's like some of it's coming back around, and it's like, it's pretty good. Can I get amen? I saw a statement from a pastor. I read one of his books, pretty solid guy. He said this week, saw it on Facebook. He says, the global coronavirus pandemic, the global outrage over racial injustice, and the global recession have exposed us and put pressure on us as the church in uncomfortable ways. One thing is clear. We must change the scorecard for success from attendance in large gatherings to a deep transformational discipleship for every single person in the church. Right? However you want to look at what's going on, this particular guy, he pastors a church in New York City. We must change the scorecard from, like, how many butts are in the seats on Sunday to, are the butts in the seats changing? Are we changing? Like, radically changing. Right? Church should not be measured by attendance, though of course we want people, obviously, we want people to come, right? Church shouldn't be measured by square footage of your facility. How many programs have we got running? How big the leadership is? How many people got saved last year? How many people got saved last year? Should not be measuring church by that. Can I get amen? Obviously we want folks getting saved. My goodness gracious, but come on, just don't even look at your neighbor at all. I'm going to look at the wall. How many of y'all got saved and we're still a mess? You're just a mess on your way to heaven, hopefully. Someday you're going to get there, right? But my gosh, we got so many churches that are like, well, I got saved. We got 100 people got saved. Okay, how many got discipled, though? How many changed? People are saved still mistreating their wives and mistreating their children and don't give nothing and don't serve, and they're still full of themselves, but they got saved. dude, messed up, man, right? The one thing that's an indicator of the Holy Spirit working in someone's life is speaking in tongues. Wrong. That's wrong. I came from a church that was it, man. You start speaking in tongues, you've arrived. No, you just started your race, bro. My Bible says he who speaks in tongues strengthens himself. That means when you start speaking in tongues, you're a mess, and the Holy Spirit's going to help you get straightened out as you're speaking in tongues. Can I get amen, right? You just get into the starting line when you're speaking in tongues, right? The evidence of the Spirit of God working in someone's life is that they are radically changing. They are different. You look back over a year, 5 years, 10 years, and you say, man, I don't even know who that guy is. We were at Kaylin's for her stepdad yesterday. And this woman walks up to me and she goes, I know you from somewhere. And I was looking, I was like, I got no idea. She goes, did you go to this particular high school? And I was like, yeah. So I ended up figuring out who she was. Didn't know her at all in high school. But at the end of the day, like, they came back over. One of them came back over, and they're like, oh, all these people kind of knew you back in the day. And they said you were a real fill in the blank, you know. And I was thinking to myself, like, I never even talked to these people. Like, but whatever. And what was kind of cool was that Kaylin said, she goes, well, he's not like that now. And I was like, all right, I like that. Only took me 20 years, praise God. I don't think I was one of those, whatever you guys filled in the blank with. Maybe I was, I don't know. So, I've said this before, guys, but listen to this, all right? Let's just be honest, right? I'm looking at the podium, this music stand. I'm not going to look at anybody. We want things in our lives to get better without us actually getting better. I got a yup and a yeah and then something other noise over here. That's it. We want things in our lives to get better without us actually getting better. Like I don't want to change. I just want things in my life that I don't like to change. Or I see things in my life that need to change, but I'm not willing to let go of who I am and surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit. There's only one way, my beloved, for true Christianity to thrive in the heart of a man, and that's through taking up my cross daily and denying myself every day. Guys, I fail. Oh, my goodness, do I fail. There's days I get up, and as soon as I wake up, I'm like, I'm taking a day off, Jesus. You know? You know, am I the only one that ever does that? Come on, y'all. Like, forgive me, Lord, for I'm going to sin today, for sure. Definitely going to do it. It's terrible, but we do it, man. Let's just be real. Can I get amen? See, denying, because this is what Jesus says, right? He who wants to come after me must take up his cross daily and deny himself, right? Every day, right? And so what this means is denying everything about myself. And here's where we're going to get a little hairy, right? Everything that draws attention to me as an individual needs to get thrown in the fire of God. And my life needs to become a living sacrifice to the Lord. It is, that's a good word here. We all do this in areas, right? But it's concerning to me. I do this, right? I'm preaching with y'all this morning, right? It's concerning to me when we hit a situation that's uncomfortable for us, whatever that is, and how quickly we revert back to how we think we should handle it. We take a step backwards and we go, yeah. All right, I know the Bible says I'm supposed to do this, but, you know, yeah. Right, but this God, it's especially in this the things that are uncomfortable for us that we should really be really pressing in, right? That when I feel like going back is when I really got to start pressing in, right? Because those are the areas I need breakthrough in, right? And really, like, it's the pressing is pressing closer to the cross. It's pressing closer to that dying in that to the Lord in that area. Dying to being obedient to God, right? Dying to what the Lord says about that particular thing. Pressing into that. right? I mean, think about it. Like, we are called, each and every one of us, we're called as believers, as followers of Jesus, right? We're called to live a particular kind of life, to speak a certain way, act a certain way, live a certain way, think a certain way, treat people a certain way, regardless of how they respond, right? Jesus says this, if you love those who love you, you're no better than tax collectors and sinners. He says, everybody does that. But how about you love your enemy? Pray for those who despitefully, King James says, pray for those who spitefully use you. So you know what that, he's not just saying praying for people who use you. He's saying praying for people who use you and are doing it on purpose, spitefully doing it. They're like, I'm going to use you now. You ready? Okay, let's pray. Right? Can I get amen, church? You see where this is going? Let's keep reading. Verse 5. Let's keep right. We're just going to run right through a few scriptures, passages here this morning. So verse 4 finishes up by saying, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. I said this a few weeks ago when we were preaching from home. I was preaching about the bride for a couple of weeks. And I said this statement at the end of that sermon, if you guys remember that, was the bride has prepared herself, right? Remember that out of Revelation? Peter, in Peter's writings, Peter tells us that when Jesus comes back, our faith has been tested. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse like 5, 6, 7, 8, right in there. He talks about our faith is being tested as being more precious than gold, and when it's been approved, it will receive this crown of glory, right? And what I said is that what Peter's saying, when Jesus comes back to get the church, right, the bride who's prepared herself, at that moment in time, Jesus is not the one receiving the glory, the bride is. Actually, somebody on that Facebook feed commented and said, that is wrong. Jesus gets the glory. I said, look, bro, when I got married and I walked out of the church, they weren't looking at me. They were looking at the bride who had prepared herself for that day. You guys catch what I'm saying? This is what Paul's saying, right? When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, he's already glorious, right? Then you also will be revealed with him in glory. We're going to share the glory of the Lord, right? Verse 5, therefore, because of verse 4, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. Everybody say dead. 2, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to, everybody say it with me, idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. Now, as I was studying this week, my Bible says that phrase, upon the sons of disobedience, was added. That is not in the original Greek. If you study the Greek in this passage, that little phrase does not exist. So Paul originally said, it is because of these things, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God will come. Yikes. And in them, you also once walked when you were living in them. But now, everybody say but now, you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self who is being renewed. Everybody say it. Being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. Well, all right, let's break it down real quick. So Paul, according to verse 5, Paul says that there's five or six things, depending if you separate those last two, that we need to, quote, consider ourselves dead to, right? Number one, immorality. The Greek word here is pornea. And we obviously get the word pornography from it. But I discovered something interesting when studying this, guys. The root of this word actually means to export for sale. Right? So we know what a prostitute does. a prostitute sells him or herself, right? They sell their body. And this is what this Greek word, the root Greek word here, means, or immorality, to sell oneself, export for sale, right? He says to consider yourselves dead to, you know, to being for sale, to prostituting yourself. You understand what I'm saying, right? Dead to it. So it's not, Paul's not just saying here, stop looking at porn or engaging in sexual sin. He's not saying to just stop it, but he says rather to consider the members of your earthly body as dead to it. Right? So if somebody's dead, like they died, they're dead, you can do anything you want to them and they're not going to react. Because they're dead. Right? So like, for me, here's what's dead to me, guys. Just going to be straight with y'all this morning, really transparent. What's dead to me is Brussels sprouts. All right. Yeah. Dude, look, they're from the devil for sure. The devil made those in the garden. That was his garden. Like, all the stinky stuff was in the devil's garden, inside the garden. You know, like, beets were over there, too. Oh. You want pickled beets? Do I want to eat pickled dirt? Because that's what beets taste like, dirt. Dude, they're just nasty. Look, seriously, though, you could dress up a Brussels sprout any way you want. You can fry them, marinate them, pickle them, wrap them in bacon. I'm dead, bro. Brussels sprouts are dead to me. All right? It's not going to happen. You could put Brussels sprouts on Little City Pizza, and it's dead to me. I will not eat it. Nasty, man. Dude, went to my in-laws are here. They like these weird. They like do them on the grill. They're like, try this. It's good. I took one bite. I'm like, dude, it tastes like a burnt Brussels sprout now. Nasty. Ugh. Number two, impurity. The Greek word here. Listen to this. This is powerful, guys. The Greek word here is the negative form of pure. But it's translated only one time in the New Testament outside of here. And it's translated as prunes, like not the fruit, because those are gross too. But like to prune something, right? To prune something. So what Paul's saying, impurity, that we have to be dead to impurity. This is what he's saying. We have to be dead to our desire to resist the pruning work of God. Because the only way that we're pure is that we get pruned. Jesus says he who bears fruit is going to be what? I'm just going to throw some miracle grow on your roots, baby, and let you grow wild. No, he's like, anybody who bears fruit, my Father will prune him back. He doesn't say anybody who's sinning, I'm going to prune him back. He's like, if you're sinning, I'm going to burn you up. You still got to die. Right? He's saying, if you're fruitful, man, you're doing good. You're like, oh, what happened? I was doing good. He's like, I'm pruning you so that you can do better. Right? You can bear more fruit, right? Passion, number three. This is this Greek word. This word in the Greek means something that befalls a man. Right? Passion, something that befalls a man. In other words, have you ever been minding your own business and then something just hits you out of nowhere, like you're having an amazing day, then you get a text from that one person that you love incredibly? And you love getting text messages from, and it just messes your whole day up, right? Or like, you're doing great, and somebody cuts you off in traffic, or you're doing great, and like the dog does something stupid, or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you were doing fine, and something befell you, right? Like something invaded your little world. This is what he's saying about passions. Like, these are things we need to die to. It's that something, I'm doing fine, something hits me, and I snap. I'm passionate about it, right? Something just hit me out of nowhere. Paul's saying, you got to die to that. Number four, evil desire. Pretty self-explanatory here, I think. Amen, right? Anything that's against the kingdom of God. Pretty simple, right? Number one, two, three, four, five, greed. Everybody say greed. Oh, this is a good one. Greed, which Paul says amounts to or is idolatry. Greed y'all, is this insatiable desire to have more than what you already have. Amen. If we got to fight something as Americans, that's it. Right? It's like no matter. We canceled cable TV a few years ago and satellite because part of it was just like you can't watch a TV show without commercials on with naked women on them, first of all, or every 5 seconds telling you whatever you got is not good enough. You need to buy a new one. Every 5 seconds, for crying out loud. You get an iPhone 11 and 3 weeks later, iPhone 29 just came out. And you're like, how did I miss the last 16 iPhones, man, in 3 weeks? Can I get an amen? I mean, I love when you get the luxury car leases. Like, if you can afford a luxury car, knock yourself out. I just get a kick out of it because how they pitch it, right? They're like, oh, you can lease this Land Rover for only $6,000 down and $1,200 a month. You're like, only? I would have to live in that and chew on the leather to eat something. Only $1,200 a month. And then wait till you get the tax bill that's like $65,000 thanks to the lovely state of Connecticut every year. Can I get an amen? Like, it's just funny, the advertising, how they say it. It's only this much money, and you're like, well, that's how much money I make in a whole month. I got to live on that. You know what I mean? So you see what I'm saying? It's greed, man. No matter what you got, there's something else out there. Let me discover something. I was really like in teacher mode this week, right? So as I was studying this word, what's really interesting is just in the concordance, just two words up in the concordance, it's the same family of words. There's a Greek word there that means to superabound. So this word is where, when you see in Romans 5, where Paul says, where sin abound, grace much more abounds, right? In the end of Romans 5, this Greek word is there, the superabounds, right? So literally what Paul says is when sin abounds, grace superabounds. That's the Greek word right there. So what's interesting is they're in the same family. But as I was praying about that, I said, all right, Lord, what is this? He says the difference between the abundance of God and greed is my attempt at living abundantly. Abundance from God is I've surrendered to the kingdom and he is blessing me abundantly. Right? Greed is I'm going to hoard everything and try to get it, try to make it. The kingdom is I'm going to give and the Lord will give back to me, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We already took up offering this morning. Amen. Right? You see what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with being abundant. Nothing wrong with having stuff. Nothing wrong with living in a nice house, driving a nice car, having a boat, having a yacht, having a vacation house in Maui. If you guys ever have one, give me the keys. We'll check it out for you. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with it. Nothing at all in the kingdom of God. As long as you are giving properly in kingdom principles, be blessed, man. Enjoy your life. Is that good? Let's keep moving. We're almost done right here. I got one more Greek word that, we gotta fly. Really powerful. Verse 8. Paul says, but now you also. So let me back up real quick. Verse 7, Paul says that we all walked in these things. Right? Just raise your hand. Close your eyes. Don't look at anybody and say, I walked in these things. I have walked in these things. Right? I have done at least one of these, probably all of them, right? And Paul says, look, as a believer, die to it, right? Verse 8, but now also put them all aside. Remember last Sunday we talked about what? The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God, right? But look where Paul, here's Paul. Put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice. So malice, guys, is like evil intent, right? So there's you know, the only charge in the court worse than murder is what? Premeditated murder, right? So you can murder somebody is just like an act of passion. That's what they call it, like an act of passion, right? There's that something befell this guy, boom, I killed you. Premeditated is like I planned it out, right? I designed a plan, right? So that's malice. There's malice in it. Paul taught more in just another spot not to be malicious gossips. Right? So there's gossip, which is not good. Then there's malicious gossip, which is yikes. I'm going to talk about you, and I'm going to plan it out. Yikes. Malice, slander, just talking bad about somebody, right? Abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another since, everybody say since. Since you have laid aside your old self. So when I want to tell a lie, what that indicates is that there's some old self still kicking, right? I'm going to touch on this word anger here in the Greek because I just saw it and I was like, whoa. So, just going to say it. The Greek word is O-R-G-E. Everybody know what that spells? O-R-G-E, right? And I was like, oh my goodness, because I know what that means in our culture. But I was looking at that, and if we know what those are, right, is, you know, yeah. But he's like, anger, that's the Greek word is translated as anger right there. O-R-G-E, like an orgy, right? And I was like, oh my goodness, what on earth is that? And the Lord was already talking to me. He says, it's this thing where you just lose control of, like, I'm so angry, I'm just going to explode and completely lose sense of all rationale, right? I'm just going to lose my mind because I'm so angry. Wow. You don't got to watch the news for more than about 9 seconds right now to see lots of folks that are losing their minds because they're so angry. Wow. Isn't that powerful? We have here in the Word of God, guys, I'm done. We're right on time. We have here right in the Word of God the answer for every single problem that still exists in the body of Christ, including the one that's ravaging the world right now. There is still old self kicking around in the church. I mean, Missy and I were talking about this last night. You know, I saw another church that's great. It's a great church, but they made a public statement about this current the racial tension, like a public statement as a church. We don't support racism. And I'm just like, I looked at my wife and I said, as a church, why would you even have to say that? Like, to me, it's like, duh. Of course we don't support discrimination in any way, shape, or form. Of course we don't. You see what I'm saying? But I was like, why do we feel pressured by the world to make these kinds of statements? Like, let's just live it properly. Let's live it. Instead of making a statement, let's live it. People can see it. Right? I'm telling you guys, unless something turns around in this country, the world is going to need, our country is going to need to see is the body of Christ rising up, every nation, tribe, and tongue, standing together, lifted one voice for the Lord, right? That's what's going to have to happen. The only thing, guys, I'm telling you, that we could have the government coming after the church in a matter of months. It's that close. And I'm not talking about the election. I'm talking it could happen sooner than that. Can I get amen? We're in some scary times, right? So let's look, guys. Verse 10. We're done. Just I'm literally got like 6 more pages of notes. Perfect. Look at verse 10. Verse 10, he says, and. Everybody say and. Let me back up here, find me. So we got, right? Verse 8, put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've laid aside the old self with its evil practices. And, it's not just one. And have put on the new self. Do you see what I'm saying? If we tie this back into what Paul says at the end of chapter 2, he says, why are you listening to decrees of don't? Because if that's all you're listening to, you're going to get frustrated real fast. Because it's like, okay, there's 1.296 billion things I'm not supposed to do, but what can I do though? Repentance is not just stop doing something bad, it's start doing something good. It's, I'm going to die to this and live to this, right? Like, if I just stop doing something, guess what? You're going to make it a month, you're going to make it 2 months, 6 months, a year, 5 years, and then you're going to go right back to it because there's a hole in your soul that's got to get filled up with some good. Can I get amen? Look, if you're spending time with God, in the Word of God, praying and stuff like that, chances of you falling into sin is real small. It's when we stop doing that and we get that void in there and we want to fill it. Can I get amen? Let's keep going. Seriously, I'm done right here. Really, guys, you're going to love this. This is really good. I hope you guys catch this and hear what I'm saying by the Spirit of God. So, verse 10, and we have put on the new self who is being renewed. See the process there, right? It's a process. Everybody say it's a process. To a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. The image of the Father, right? I look at this. Guys, hear this. I don't carry the fullness of the image of God. I'm made in his image and in his likeness, but God doesn't look like me, and I don't look like him. Think about this. He doesn't look like you. He isn't white. He isn't black. I love the new thing is, well, Jesus is Jewish. No, he's not. He came to the earth as a Jew. He's not coming back as a Jew. He's coming back as a king. I didn't even get a chance to look at Revelation yet, but I'm pretty sure when it describes what he looks like when he's coming back, you know, eyes of fire, hair white as wool, two-edged sword, I don't think it says anything about the color of his skin. Bronze feet. All right, whatever the color of that is, I'm not even sure. But I said this a couple years ago, guys, and I think it came back to me this season. If you guys remember this, I said, the Lord spoke this to me a couple years ago. He said, son, I'm not white, I'm light. And you know, if you hold up, go outside on a day like this and hold up a prism, you know, it comes out of light, all the colors. So this is what the Lord said to me as I was finishing this up yesterday morning. He says, Paul's talking to the church here, right? He's not talking to Mike or Leah or Connie or Mark. When he says, you're being renewed into the image of the one, you are being renewed into the image of the one, right? So the only way that we look like God, I can't look like God all by myself. I can have God's nature in me all by myself, right? Because of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? But the only way that we become made in the image of God is when we all come together as one body, all nations, all races, all ethnicities, all skin tones, all hair types, all tall, short, skinny, and maybe not quite as skinny as some other folks. Can I get amen, church? It's this oneness that Paul's talking about. Do you see what I'm saying? Because God, every one of us is made a little bit in the image of God. All the skin, all the color variations, everything is all in God because he's light. So when God, he says, I'm going to make all these different ones. And here's, I'll wrap it up right here with this. I have four daughters, right? All four of my daughters are made in the image of my wife and I. They all have our DNA in them. But all four of my daughters look a little bit different. But you know, if you took all four of my daughters, especially as they all grow up and get big, I bet if you took all four of my daughters and blended them all together, that they would look a lot like, even more like Missy and I. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's this, you see a unique Madeline and Olivia and Everly and Elena all have your unique facial features and unique body types and all these things, right? Even skin tone is going to vary a little different. Hair color is going to vary a little bit. But they all come from our loins, right? And it's like, it's not about like, well, this one looks more like you. No, they're all my daughters. They all carry our likeness in them. And as a parent, like to me, I mean, some of you got multiple kids, right? You would think like you want all your kids to come together because all your kids represent what you made. And this is what God is calling for the church to come together. You're all my kids. All of you are my kids. I made all of you. And the more you come together, the more you look like my family. The more you look like what I made and what I want on the earth. Can I get amen? Let's stand up. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask this morning for the grace to die to ourselves, God. Father, if we are followers of Jesus, there's only one kingdom that we should be living for. Only one. Quick little thought to share with you guys as we're wrapping up here. And actually, the Lord hit me with this, and the next day I saw a young African-American man, Christian man, shared exactly the same thought, word for word, and I was like, wow, if that's not confirmation. The thought from the Lord the other day was this: who did the Jews want Jesus to deliver them from? The Romans, right? They figured, man, this is the Messiah. He's going to deliver us from the Romans. And many, many times they tried to like push Jesus into this public forum, right? They tried to push him. Look, it's time. And every time they tried to push Jesus into this public issue, right, Jesus would sneak away. He says, that's not my kingdom. It's not my kingdom. My kingdom's coming, right? And I had this thought, like, it's like we're doing it. And not just what's going on right now, but we do it all the time. We, you know, because we got, you know, we Republicans and Democrats, we split this thing up. We got Democrats that are Christians and think, well, Jesus is like Democrats. No, my goodness, no, he's not. And he's not like Republicans either. Can I get amen? Right? It's labels that we put on this thing, right? So it's like the Lord's really on me. He's saying, son, my kingdom is not down there. It's coming. Right? And there's one kingdom, my beloved, is what we should be living for. And that's the increase of that kingdom. So, Father, we ask for the grace this morning to examine our lives again and say, man, how much old man is still kicking around? We've all got it. Can I get amen? We've all got it. But, Lord, we should see that progress, that renewing, the renewal that is working by the power of the Holy Spirit. That, Lord, if we can't look back a year or 2 years or 5 years and see growth and see, wow, okay, I've definitely grown, right? Just all the, if you can't see that, then the solution is simple. Just say, Father, forgive me for digging my heels in. I want to change. I want to be an ambassador of the kingdom. I want to be kingdom-minded. I want to fix my mind on the things that are above, not on the things on the earth. I want to be this new man that lives for you, that lives for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen, guys. Have a wonderful week. Happy Father's Day. All you dads, enjoy whatever you're doing this afternoon. Enjoy the weather. It's going to be another hot one. Hopefully you guys can go swimming or something a little bit. But don't eat too much.